This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Congressional Republicans have had their sights set on overturning the Affordable Care Act, better known as Obamacare, since it became the law of the land in 2010. However, while the GOP now has a majority in the House and the Senate, lawmakers are having a difficult time repealing and replacing the Affordable Care Act.
And as lawmakers work to replace Obamacare, a new sticking point has emerged. The newest bill might remove protections for people with pre-existing conditions, one of the Affordable Care Act's most popular health care reforms. This provision has divided congressional Republicans, with more moderate Republicans against removing those protections and more conservative members of the GOP in favor of the removal.
Donna Friedsam is with us now to talk about the newest version of the Republican health care plan and what it could mean for people with pre-existing conditions. She's a researcher and health policy programs director at the University of Wisconsin Population Health Institute. Donna, welcome to Central Time.
Good to be with you.
Well, President Trump has said that people with pre-existing conditions would be covered under the new Republican health care bill. Critics are saying that the new bill would actually leave those same people vulnerable. So what do we know about the provisions for pre-existing conditions in this new Republican health care bill?
Well, it's a little bit more complicated than simply saying that the bill requires or allows that pre-existing conditions would remain covered, because the part about covering pre-existing conditions requires not only that the insurance companies issue the insurance, but that the insurance remains affordable to people who have those conditions. And under the Affordable Care Act, there are provisions that required that the products be issued to people regardless of their health status, and also some rules around rating or pricing the premiums that required that the insurance policies be affordable to people even with those conditions. So under the current American Health Care Act, with the amendments that have been added in the last few weeks, while it retains the provision that has insurance companies offering pre-existing condition policies, it changes the law in that states would be able to waive that, and as well, it would not require the kinds of rating rules that are required under the ACA or Obamacare. So the prices for those policies could be based on whatever the risk the insurance companies determine that they want to assign to an individual. And for all intents and purposes, most analysts believe that that would pretty much price out the people with high-risk conditions from being able to purchase insurance in the individual market.
So let's talk through some of this. So if a state applied for a waiver and they were wanting to be waived out of some of those conditions that were included in the ACA, they would then form a high-risk pool. What do we know about how that would work?
So the concept here is that the people with certain conditions, some high risk and some more common conditions but pre-existing, would be removed from the regular insurance market and move into a high risk pool. Wisconsin and many other states actually had a high risk pool prior to the Affordable Care Act, and it functioned well in some ways, and in other ways didn't meet the need for the population. But the idea is that if we remove the high-cost cases from the regular insurance pool, then the prices for the premiums for the regular population that don't have those risks will go down. And that would indeed occur if we weren't having to share risk in the regular insurance market with people that had high risk, high cost conditions. Then people who were younger and healthier would have lower premiums because they're not as much of a risk in that market. At the same time, what we know about the high risk pools is that the ones that have operated in the past did not have sufficient funds to take care of the people that were enrolled in them, and the amount of money that's being contemplated under the current amendments to the AHCA look to be significantly lower than what would be required to take care of the insurance or coverage needs of the high-risk population.
But if the bill went on to the Senate, that amount could be bumped up. Do you think to an amount that would make that keep the premiums at a a reasonable level for people who would be in that high-risk pool?
It seems unlikely in that the amount that would be required would be more than double what's currently being contemplated. I don't think that the Senate is currently in the mindset of pursuing the same path that the House is pursuing with regard to the model of separating the high risk into these separately funded pools. There were a number of other issues as well with regard to how the pools operated in the past. They had lifetime caps in coverage and waiting periods for coverage of pre-existing conditions. And of course, that is not something that people are going to want to see going forward. So the question is whether this is really a viable solution for this population. And indeed, if there is the wherewithal to find the more than double up funding that's currently being contemplated and take away the kinds of rules for participation that existed in the past, it may indeed significantly improve the chances for that to provide some kind of relief and then allow the regular insurance pool to operate in a way that reduces premiums for the low-risk population. But it doesn't seem that what's being contemplated right now with the existing amendments is going to achieve that result.
And one of the most popular aspects of the Affordable Care Act has been coverage for pre-existing conditions. How sensitive is this subject?
How sensitive?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that you're seeing the population really respond to this because it is one of the most popular provisions of the Affordable Care Act when it took away the risk that people were facing of becoming uninsurable because of whatever kinds of condition might have developed in their life or in many cases things that people were born with where they found themselves unable to attain insurance coverage. Or the other thing that is very common is that people have insurance coverage through their employer, and in those cases, they are not underwritten or they're able to get insurance even with a pre-existing condition, but that they feel that they cannot leave those jobs, or if they lose those jobs, they become essentially uninsurable because they can't find insurance through the individual market. They can only get insurance through a large employer. So the Affordable Care Act was intended in its structure to try to make changes to those concerns. Now, this is not to argue that it fixed everything. Certainly there are things that need to be improved, and that's a whole other discussion, but this is the thing that people did recognize provided a fair amount of relief to people with those concerns. So the estimates range from anywhere from 25 to 50% of the population would have some kind of a pre-existing condition that could be medically underwritten or even subject to being considered a deniable condition if we were to go back to the way things were prior to the ACA.
And there is a cultural conversation about this going on right now. We've heard it talked about on the late night shows, talking about coverage there on, of course, the news shows. Republican Alabama Representative Mo Brooks spoke with CNN's Jake Tapper this weekend about the health care bill. And here's a little bit of that conversation.
My understanding is, as you just mentioned, this new legislation would allow states to opt out and allow insurance companies to refuse to sell insurance to people with pre-existing conditions as long as there's some setup for them, pools of some sort. Is the president sending a message to Congress to change that provision, or did he not understand what was in the bill?
Well, that's not my understanding of the way the bill has been reframed. My understanding is that it will allow insurance companies to require people who have higher health care costs to contribute more to the insurance pool that helps offset all these costs, thereby reducing the cost to those people who lead good lives, they're healthy, they've done the things to keep their bodies healthy. And right now, those are the people who've done things the right way that are seeing their costs skyrocketing.
And Representative Brooks does go on to say later that there are people with pre-existing conditions that are beyond their control. But what does this kind of conversation say if you take a look at this kind of conversation about maybe the suggestion that people who do the right things don't have pre-existing conditions, and combined with the conversation going on with say, Jimmy Kimmel talking about his his infant born with a pre-existing condition. Where is this taking us?
Well, that certainly does raise a lot of emotional conversation. That was an unfortunate phrasing, to say the least, in suggesting that people are to blame in all or most circumstances for whatever kinds of unfortunate medical conditions they find themselves in. And I can't comment on what the congressman was thinking or contemplating when he framed it in that manner, but certainly this is something all of us can think about, various people in our lives or even ourselves, and what kinds of situations arise, and I think that's why it's so very personal for people. They don't know what might occur if, you know, they're faced with some kind of a diagnosis. But I think that what's really important for people to understand is that, you know, certainly Jimmy Kimmel and his discussion about his newborn son being, you know, faced with a severe heart defect is one thing, or think about people with cancer or very, very dramatic things. But medical underwriting is something that occurs for really run-of-the-mill conditions as well. It occurs for high blood pressure, and it occurs for high cholesterol and things that many, many people have. And the increasing numbers of people who have diabetes now, that is subject to medical underwriting.
What is medical underwriting?
I'm sorry. This is medical underwriting is what the insurance companies do if they have an opportunity to look at somebody's health condition and decide whether to deny the policy or to price the policy based on the risk of the individual rather than the price of the group and sharing the risk across the group. So that's what occurred before the Affordable Care Act, and then the Affordable Care Act removed that possibility and said, no, we're going to rate people based on the risk across the whole community, so you can't take an individual person and price them based on their own individual health conditions. So I would just say there's a long list of conditions that could be subject to this kind of pricing based on an individual's own circumstances. It's not only the most dramatic of conditions that you can think of. And like I say, there are things like sleep apnea, epilepsy, Alzheimer's, a whole range of conditions that would raise this circumstance.
And we'll leave it there. Donna, thank you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome. Take care.
That was Donna Friedsam, researcher and health policy programs director at the University of Wisconsin Population Health Institute. And she was with us today to talk about the newest health care bill currently being discussed in Congress and what it might mean for people with pre-existing conditions.